Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. Again, that's Billy Joel, My Life. I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. If you're up, thank you so much for being up with me this Sunday. Liam, do you have a weather report for us? Are you able to pull that up?
I'm just
springing that on you.
Yeah, I'll grab that real quick.
I know it's going to be probably wet today because I did see that. That's why I wore the shoes I'm wearing because I don't want to ruin my other ones. So what do we have?
1 second.
Okay. It's definitely, I know we're going to have some extreme temperature towards the end of this week, so I'm not looking forward to the 90s and soon after the 100s.
All right, so yeah, we got a high of 66. Wow, any more coffee, man. We have a high of 66 today. Mostly sunny. Tonight we do have a 40% chance of showers with a low of 48. Those showers are going to continue through Monday with a high of 62, and then it's going to be sunny days with the hottest day being this upcoming Saturday with a high of 93.
That's crazy stuff, yeah. Man, especially after being in like the 50s. So, well, it's been 4 weeks since I've been in the studio. I want to, again, thank Nigel for filling in for me a couple weeks ago. I was recently in Phoenix for my daughter's college graduation. So it's been an eventful last 4 weeks. A lot's happened. And it's going to sound weird of all the things that have happened. Good and bad, but, you know, being thankful for me is one thing in life I've learned is the Lord is always refining me. He's always breaking me down, building me back up, and I'm thankful for that. It's awesome. It's a great relationship I think I have there. One of the most pressing things right now that I just want to share briefly about, and I don't normally talk a lot about being a supervisor, specifically on the show or things that we're working on. But there are a couple things I am going to mention. One of them is the UPEC strike. I made a motion that after one of the speakers, Jamie, actually had mentioned, you know, maybe having an ad hoc committee of a couple supervisors sit in on the negotiating process. And that is something that is, you know, maybe really frowned upon by some, maybe celebrated by others. I don't know. I've been there 4 months. I know that when Supervisor Kellstrom and I came in, I made the comment that we were like in the sixth or seventh inning of negotiations. So we kind of just, I don't want to say went along with everything. We had a lot of discussions, all the supervisors in closed session, of course. But this process had already been playing itself out. And then getting to the point in public comment when somebody says, hey, how about something like this? And I think that's out of the box, probably not the norm. And I really like that because one thing for me is being an elected official, one of the things that's been the hardest is the speed of which things happen. When you're used to being in the private sector or, you know, being a husband or a spouse or, you know, a parent, you're able to act and mobilize and do things quickly. So for me, sitting and watching and being on the sidelines, something in like negotiations, which, again, I do for a living. Not as an attorney. I work with attorneys pretty much all the time, but negotiating contracts, negotiating terms of deals, negotiating locations, logistics, and then, of course, finances, that's something I take great pride in. And I hate to say the word pride, but I'm proud of the efforts of my team because oftentimes I think the best deals are made when nobody is really, really ecstatic. I think everybody goes away and says, well, I didn't get everything I wanted, but neither did they, and you come to a spot. So I don't know. At the next board meeting, it's going to be on the agenda. We are going to vote on it to see if an ad hoc committee is being created. I'm not sure if it will pass or not, but I do know that I definitely stood up and wanted to. I volunteered first to be on that, and I think Supervisor Kellstrom showed some interest. I'm not sure if any of the other supervisors are going to be interested in that or will vote for it. But we'll see what happens because that's something that I think needs to be remedied and remedied fast. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. We have a lot of hardworking people in the county, and they are the backbone. The services we offer, especially within HHSA, are critical, and not that the other departments aren't critical as well, but, and that's going to be a segue into a guest I'm going to be bringing on here in a second, but we have to make sure the people that are servicing, the people that need services the most, the ones that are unsheltered, homeless, unhoused, whatever term you want to use, but people that absolutely need those hand up opportunities and not just handouts, but there's definite need to get those services to people, and we can't slow those down. The second thing would be, I want to touch on briefly, is the recall effort. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I will say on May 18th, I'm going to have a fundraiser at the Wind River Event Center. And I would encourage anybody within Shasta County and outside Shasta County, because we have a lot of people coming from outside of Shasta County as well, because they see what's going on. They see that what we have right now is we have an individual that wins an election, albeit very slim margin, 90 votes total, like 0.6%, but nonetheless won, and then trying to remove that person from office within 4 months and let the governor appoint is not good. It really puts us in the sense of this is a banana republic, that if we don't like something, and the hypocrisy of the whole thing to me is it's going to cost Shasta County well over $1 million, probably $1.5 million to do that special election. And it's crazy to me. But again, if you want to come out and support the efforts to keep me in office, and not just keep me in office, because I think it's much, much bigger than me, but keep our board very conservative, faith, family, country. Those are the principles that Shasta County has lived and been built on for a long, long, long time, and I think this might be one of the first boards in quite some time that really, really believes that, that is uncompromised in being conservative. And again, when we talk about fiscal conservatism and we talk about the voting processes and things like that, and costs, a lot of costs are thrown out, but the one thing we have to remember is no checks have been written. This is a process, and the process will play itself out, so people have to understand that not a dollar has been spent. You know, and it was interesting because I'll segue really quick, but Mike DeQuisto did a post last night and talked about how the city council, on a vote of 3-2 with council members, Vice Mayor Mazzano and then Mayor DeQuisto voting no, but, you know, forgiving a multi-million dollar loan from with REU. And what's really, really tough about that is that's taxpayers' money. If you pay into REU, you just got ripped off. But nobody talks about that. And that is fact. And that is money that was truly not paid back that should have been. So when we talk about voting systems and we talk about the dollars that have been spent and they've been thrown out to I saw something that came across as $3 million. That's not true. That hasn't happened. No checks have been written on that. We used to lease our equipment. Now we're going to buy it. So if you like to lease vehicles, well, then that's a different strategy than I have. I would rather buy something and then own it outright, because now if you look, everything's becoming a payment. Like even QuickBooks now, you know, you're paying per user. You don't own anything, and I don't like that. I don't like a world where we own nothing. I think we have to buy things and then have it, and then that's it. Okay, with that, that's my supervisor and Kevin Cry rant. So I'm going to bring on now a guest, and this is an individual that's impacted me and many others in Shasta County, but really has changed the course of my life in terms of how I've been involved at Martin Luther King Park, and that is Monique Willeen. So, Monique, welcome.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you.
Thanks
for having me.
No, you bet. Thank you for coming on. I want to spend some time here right before we go into our first break. I want to spend just a little bit of time just for the listeners to get to know you, where you're from, where you grew up, and then we'll get into like the deep story of Monique. But just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and welcome.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Wow. What does one say that everybody hasn't heard so far? But no, I was born down south to a young mother, and just basically for the first 5-6 years of my life was unsheltered with her down south. We did sleep on a lot of couches. We had family members that gave up couches and stuff. But oftentimes we'd sleep on church pews. We would get food, and then my mother would take us out for the day. Spent a lot of times in parks as a kid, you know. My mother did try her best to make it not so such of a burden on her kids that we were homeless. We slept in cars. I remember as a little kid sleeping in my mom's Volkswagen Bug. I got the back seat. My sister got the front seat. My mom slept in the driver's seat. And all those little poke holes in the Volkswagen Bug to go to sleep. I used to count those. And then my aunt and uncle adopted me. When I was 10, we moved up to Santa Rosa. And I went to school, and my aunt and uncle adopted me and my sister and I, excuse me. And then went through high school, graduated, got a job. I started working at 12 for my dad at 7-Elevens. And then, got a job, went to school, became a medic.
So when you say your dad, so you're jumping like just absolutely right into the story. So,
yeah.
No, this is fine. So when you say your dad, are you talking about your uncle?
Yes. Okay. I call him my dad just because I never had a father figure. And it was very apparent that my mother she struggled with men. So I didn't want that burden. So, literally from word go, I couldn't call my dad to his face. I'd call him Joe. But when I talked about him, he was always my father. So, yeah.
And is Joe alive to this day?
No. Unfortunately, he passed away from cancer. We had moved to Clear Lake, and then that's when he advised us he had cancer. And I went and got my degrees and took care of my dad and lived with my dad and his wife. And then we moved back here. So.
Wow. And then so do you want to talk a little bit about your mom and about – yeah, I mean, you want to – how about this? Hey, Liam, how close are we to a break before we go –
We're rolling up on it.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break a little bit early. That way we don't have to stop this when we get going. Okay. And then I think, Liam, what song is taking us into break? Are we talking some Twisted Sister?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so let's go into break with some Twisted Sister, because I think one thing about Monique is the song We're Not Going to Take It Anymore, I think, pretty much epitomizes my friend Monique.
Bingo.
All right, thanks, Liam.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
It's rodeo time. 75 years of bucking by the river. Reading Rodeo celebrates 75 years with four action-packed nights of riding, wrestling, wrangling, and roping. Wednesday night is Native American Night by Reading Rancheria. MD Imaging brings you Family Night Thursday. Friday is tough enough to wear pink with Pendleton Whiskey and Block Beverage. Sierra Pacific closes out with Saturday's Armed Forces Night. Reading Rodeo, May 17th through May 20th. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com.
All right, we're back. Bruce Springsteen, absolutely love that song, and I love that that line, "Can't start a fire without a spark." And I think that spark definitely for me is sitting in front of me, Monique.
Thank you.
So, Monique, right before the break, we talked about a little bit about your mom and unpacking some of that, because one thing is we see with the boards, you come up, and some people may see it really quick, or they may see occasionally if they don't come to all the boards. But I don't think people understand that you're one of the biggest overcomers that I know. And so you want to unpack a little bit going just back to your mom being pregnant?
Sure, yeah. No, so to get real, I was told from word go as a child that I'm only here because of a checkers game gone bad. Now, you got to understand, as a kid, that didn't make sense to me. And with that being said, I just had my son, Robert Edward Wooling. I just had my son, and my mom came to visit, and something happened, and it fired her off, and she got upset at me, and then that's when she kind of laid it on my shoulders, that she was raped as a young girl. And in that moment, I didn't even know how to process what she had just said.
So you're an adult when you found that out?
Yes, I was an adult.
Oh, wow.
But all my life as a child, there were a lot of different signs, as you will say, that, you know, but it didn't make sense to me, because you got to also understand, my mother has paranoid schizophrenia to the full degree. She's got a flat affect, doesn't respond to situations appropriately. My sister was kidnapped, raped, and murdered at the age of 16 during the Rodney King riots. And when my mother called me, I am just bawling my eyes out, snotting on myself, trying to figure out where life is going. And my mother is literally laughing. And,
oh, geez.
Yeah. So at that time, I didn't have a full concept of what her disease or disorder was. So in my mind's eye, how dare you, to the utmost degree, how dare you do this to me? And that was a lot of our problems, with my mother's inability to deal with reality, I guess I should say.
Sure.
But anyways, yeah, I was told as an adult, and then that really kind of flipped my world upside down.
Well, and you were a mother already at
yes,
that
point. Yes, I had a small child, and I couldn't sleep at night, because all I kept thinking was, my child was made from love. You know, I've been with my husband for almost 30 years. We've been married for, I can't do the math real quick. Please forgive me, Eric. but we've been together for almost 30 years. And, yeah, I was a mother, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to act. And all I could do was point, get out the door, get out of my house, get out of my life, and just leave me be. And then the reality of being told literally weighed on me heavier than most things. My daughter's heart surgery. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
in
yeah.
comparison, it really shook and rocked my world.
Absolutely. Now, were you already out of school then, or were you in school?
No, I just moved up here and was actually applying at that for the process of working with Mercy Medical Center.
Gotcha.
I was applying to become a medic, and then I was fortunate enough that I got to be a flight medic with Mercy. So.
Yeah. And how long were you a flight medic?
Probably, I want to say about 5-6 years, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
You see a lot in five or 6 months, let alone 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, initially it all started in San Francisco County, San Mateo County, Santa Clara County. And then when we got pregnant, I had had a patient that was a gentleman, was at a basketball game, was beat by 5 different men. And it turned out this man looked just like my husband, red hair, white guy. And he was beat by, at the time, 5 or 6 different black men. And I don't understand why they beat him. And I'm pregnant, and I go home, and I said, I can't do this. I can't, you know, I'm in San Francisco County. I love that city. My heart is with San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I told my husband, I said, we got to do something, because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And this is before I knew anything about my past. And then when we moved up here, I just, you know, I named my son after my brother, who is my aunt's son. He's actually my cousin.
Your cousin, yeah.
Yeah. And I told my son from word go, I named you after your Uncle Robert because I want you to have a lust for life. I want you to love life, live life. And that's exactly what my son does. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, we moved up here, and I was a medic, or getting a job as a medic. And then that's when I became a medic. And I literally had to compartmentalize a lot of the stuff I had gone through in the past just so I could get the job, just so I can.
So you're kind of figuring out your past as you were living in your current state.
Absolutely.
And would you say that's when some things in your personal life started to, I don't want to say unravel, but
they did.
Yeah. But I mean, just, you know, where you started to, you know, struggle with addiction or things like that.
Yeah,
so walk me through a little bit. Cause again, I've only heard bits and pieces that, you know, at Martin Luther King Park and you're talking about it, but what was the tipping point, you think, where you go from, you know, flight medic and then started to have some?
So one of my very first times that I realized that I had used alcohol, we had a really nice 23-foot, I think it was a Malibu boat or a Mastercraft, and it was sitting in our garage. My husband did amazing to provide for his family. And I myself, as a medic, I was making good money.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the back of my boat, and I had a full bottle of wine. Never drank a whole bottle before. And I'm crying over the circumstances because it involved a small child, an infant, as a matter of fact. It was the first time I had ever I had to defibrillate a small child. And I don't know too many people who've had to be in that position to make that decision.
Yeah.
And And so I sat in my boat and just bawled my eyes out because, as you know, with children, I don't know if you are aware when it comes to medicine, children will fight. And once they fall off that cliff.
That's it.
Yeah. It's so, unfortunately, I have to state that I've had more bad situations than good with children. And I sat in the back of my boat, and I literally pounded a bottle of wine, which was the most ridiculous thing, just so I can bury my mind.
Yeah.
And the next day, I woke up with a headache, and I'd resolved, that's done, it's over with, it's in the past, be done. But then the next time another bad call came through, it didn't necessarily have to deal with a child, but that's that maladaptive way of dealing with these thoughts. Because
maladaptive.
You know, I couldn't figure out, why couldn't I have saved this child? Yeah. Why did this child go through this process? What could I have done faster? What could we as a team done differently to have been successful?
Yeah.
And just I couldn't find any answers that satisfied my mind, so I figured, to hell, bury it.
Yeah. You know, I think – and that's one thing I've really learned, and this has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with just getting older.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody – and you've seen the memes or you've seen, you know, the statement on a poster that everybody's fighting some battle you're unaware of.
Yes.
And everybody deals with things so differently.
Yes.
And it doesn't – and, you know, and we are, especially men. We're in a society – not so much now, but still it's prevalent that you're supposed to just, you know, buck up.
Buck it up.
Yeah. Sister. Yeah, exactly. Suck it up and just move forward.
Yeah.
And that's what's really tough. And one of the hardest things, I think, even still, is for people to admit, hey, I need some help. Yeah. Something's not right.
I was used to being the medic. When somebody else had a situation, they called us and we showed up. So I was the help. And I didn't know how to help myself. And back then, we didn't have peer supports to say it's okay. It's okay to be in the situation. And not everything can be done like we think it should be done.
Absolutely. So after that first time in the boat,
yeah.
How long was it before it really started to affect your work? Or yeah, let's just say your
good
work
question.
To start with.
No, I quit my job. I quit my job. I started to
spiral. At what point? Like how long after the boat?
Oh, after the boat? Probably 2 years.
2 years,
and
there'd
probably been about four or five occasions where that burying concept kind of took place. But there were four or five occasions. And then I quit my job. And then that first day, being a lay person, there was going to be nobody else needed me. And then it just seemed to hit me so hard that even though I was sad that I couldn't do something, at least I was trying. And I felt most alive. I felt most alive when I was fighting for somebody else.
Yeah.
And then that's when I tried to suppress that. Because I couldn't do it anymore. I had no authority to do it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I just literally became a drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm sober.
No, I know.
I'm in my sobriety.
Yep.
And I'm fighting to show my children that no matter what, as far as you can go with the depths of your own mind, you can pull your own self out.
Absolutely.
And so I'm
– you know, and I'm going to say it, but I think the way the Lord's – using you is going to speak. It's like Jerry sat in here.
Yes. You know? I watched that. Yes, yeah. I heard it. Yeah.
You okay.
Well,
you heard
he had
it.
His
yeah.
video on it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Then
he
I
was
listened to it.
You
yeah.
said you watched it. Uh-oh.
Yeah. No.
No. So
video.
No, and it would be good. It just I was you know, Jerry's life is one that you could see it. You could see it him working with people.
Yeah.
And the same with you.
Yeah.
And 'cause I think that's the only thing that really pulls individuals like Henry where they're able to get out is somebody has to reach down with a hand, pull them up, and then give that individual an opportunity to, you know, work themselves out of it. And
I think that hand up idea to me is that rise out of that chasm, that cavern that is so cold and so dark and so dank. And to me, that is the very epitome of what hope is.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I know we're just about to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to get a little bit more into where you are today and where we are with MLK and some of the camps. And so this is good. I appreciate you being on, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
All right, we're back. AC/DC Thunderstruck. That is always a good song to wake up to. So I'm going to, this portion of the show, I want to make sure I thank Dave with Professional Exterminators. So for your, all your pest control and rodent control, wildlife control, et cetera, all those needs, Dave with Professional Exterminators, who you want to call. They're family owned and operated. They've been here in the North State for quite some time. So as their slogan, if something's bugging you, it's time to call. 530-338-2822, their website, proexterminator.net. Thanks again, Dave. All right, one thing, this next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Martin Luther King Park, and then if you have some, I know some people have called in, and we haven't taken any calls yet. The last segment of the last 15 minutes of the show, we'll take some callers. Okay. So, Monique, let's jump back in now.
Sure.
So let's fast forward
Please.
To how you met Skippy or Jerry or how your ministry or how your work at Martin Luther King Park started.
Okay, thank you. So I was running for city council, and I had met Mr. Munns at Signorama, and we were both getting our signs that day. And
and this was a lot. This how long ago?
2020.
Yeah. So not this last election.
No.
2020.
And so we were getting our signs, and we were talking, and we stated, "Hey, let's kind of do this together, kind of thing." And then a bunch of people who own businesses over by the Lorenz had stated they had issues with underserved, unsheltered individuals outside. So I said, "Hey," called up Jack, and I said, "Let's go do this. Let's talk to the business owners and see what it is, what we can do if we're so fortunate to get a seat." And so we were outside of the Lorenz, and this man comes up, and it happened to be Mr. Harrell, comes up, and he says, "Dude, I absolutely love you." And it weirded me out at first because I'm not a touchy-feely kind of person. And I kind of stepped back like, "Excuse me?" And he was like, "I listened to you speak. I think you're amazing. Your heart is in the right place. You got a great head. This is what I do." And at that time, I was fighting my alcoholism. And I was hoping that if I won the seat, that would pull me out. But that's not how it works. So anyways, with that being said, we're in front of the Lorenz. And these two guys across the street start fighting. And one guy takes off his shoe to go throw it. And I realized this action. Now, mind you, as a medic, you had to have the forethought to know what certain things were about to happen. And so immediately I run, and the guy goes to throw the shoe at somebody else's head, and I dive, catch the shoe. There's an officer there, and Jerry's just like, I told you you were amazing. And I'm like, oh, come on, no. And then he advised me, hey, we feed people. And I said, really? Because this is what I want to be a part of, but I can't do it in the moment. I'll call you when I'm ready. And then this ball welled up in me, and I thought to myself, I want to do this. And I was trying to work with Brenda at the time as well. We were trying to figure out what we can do for individuals. And then I gave Jerry a call. Jerry said he had to go away with his wife, which I totally understood. And he was like, why don't you come to the park? Why don't you see for yourself? Boom. I was hooked.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So you had never really done this kind of work prior. I mean, like, as formal as you're doing now.
Yeah, I had spent some time at the mission prior to that, but that didn't bode so well for me. And I was trying to find a place that would be open to wanting me there.
Yeah.
And Jerry was that guy. And I will forever, forever be thankful for his ability to show love for somebody who didn't receive it at first.
Yeah, that's the thing I've really realized and identified with a lot of the individuals, not even just at Martin Luther King Park, but a lot of individuals that are running small operations, we'll call it, out of their own pocketbook or out of the back of their own car after work, going out to Masonic or Breslauer or MLK, you know, and it's not the big nonprofits.
Nope.
It's not the formal organizations with the commercials and the windbreakers and the hats and the benefits. It's people just really doing the work, I really feel like we're on the cusp. And when I say we, I mean many of us.
Yes.
And I'm not taking I'm taking zero credit.
I'm not taking credit.
I'm very Johnny come lately, because I've been out there since late June. Like when you invited me, it was just like, hey, I'll do it after the election, and I've always appreciated that invite because I think that invite was like around March.
Yes.
Or April.
Yeah.
So, but one thing is what I think we're on the cusp of is a lot of individuals being identified, and we're starting to unify some of those efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about that because the position I'm in as a supervisor, I'm able to make phone calls that we all can make.
Yes.
But, let's face it, those calls are returned a lot quicker.
Yes, they are.
And I think with HHSA now getting involved to the level they are, and very soon we're actually going to have a formal proposal from Laura Birch, who's our director of HHSA, and then as well as Sarah Brown and Housing and others, and having a very formal process of getting out to the various camps. And I think that is – and I'm not a housing first person. I mean, I don't even know necessarily where you sit on that, because I don't think just putting somebody – under a roof is going to the business.
We've tried
all
that a few times. And,
and
that's, there's a lot of other mitigating circumstances like unprocessed traumas, addictions, mental health. And it's almost like a tag team thing that needs to be worked on.
Yeah. There's a lot that has to come. And I think what you've been a huge part of, and Jerry, is aligning all the different people, having everybody, meet and then starting to say, and again, this goes along with what the CSAC had presented and the at-home program. But none of this is rocket science. A lot of it is, there's a lot of different organizations out there doing really good work, but that really good work is only 2 to 3%. Let's call it 5%. Well, you've got 20 people doing 5%. Let's see who's going to be really, really, really good at one thing and then just do that. And that's going to be the – that's what's going to be tough, because we've seen it out at Martin Luther King Park. You know, there was, for those that don't know, out at the Mercy Canyon, there was Vice Mayor Mazzano actually made it possible to bring in, I don't know, how big is that dumpster? Is it like a 3-yard or 5-yard dumpster? I don't even know.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It's one of the biggest ones they've got, I believe.
Yeah.
Not the big white ones, but the... Yeah, it's huge.
It's like 2 or 3, Toyota Tundras, long. So it's long, and it gets filled up, I believe, every week.
Yep.
And before that was out there, stuff was just piling up.
Yeah. We walked out through the canyon with Laura, and that was...
Yeah. And one of the things is when I started to see, like, hey, people are donating clothes and all kinds of stuff, and that stuff's ending up in that creek.
Yep.
Or it's within a few days even. even sometimes within that same day, yes. A jacket would be given out, and then we'd see a jacket on the ground. Yes. Maybe someone dropped it, whatever, but it's still on the ground.
No, it is.
So I had said, hey, we got to stop.
No, I agree.
We got to stop doing some of this. But then even then, that caused mm-hmm. some people to say, well, we want to keep handing it out. So mm-hmm. that's, I think, what's going to be the tough part is, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we've streamlined with Mr. Mazzano's help. Where we, at the park, we don't hand out clothes anymore because more than being a part of the problem, we truly want to be a part of the solution.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Skippy comes with food from grocery stores.
Yeah.
There's a Senate bill that says grocery stores, when things are about to retire, they can't expire.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They can't throw them away anymore. So Skippy will come out with that stuff. And, that's the kind of things that people will take and ingest.
Yeah.
So there's the packaging is an issue, but there's always going to be those issues.
Oh yeah. Well, and I know the, and then of course there's the toiletries and
yes.
stuff like that.
Yeah. We have hygiene products.
Which I'm thankful that we've, especially Jerry and then, and I don't know if they would want their name shared, so I won't share the lovely ladies who hand that stuff out.
Stacy and Bev. I will share it because I absolutely love their hearts.
Stacy and Bev are awesome. Yeah. I don't have.
And Denise.
Yes, Denise yes. as well. And yes. I try not to call her
the coffee lady.
I try not to bring people's names up unless I ask them, even though it's like legally okay to do that. But some people just want to.
I share them, and I've asked them before when I share their pictures on Facebook. Before I take pictures of individuals in the park, I always advise them, hey, listen, I want to take your picture for nothing more than to show people that this is what we're doing, just to get all the help we can.
Yeah.
So I believe I did get their permission a while ago because I stated this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I've never gotten no.
Some of the things that, you know, I mean, again, we've...
And Skippy.
And Skip. Oh, yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
One thing, or among things I'll say, is that, you know, we could almost predict what the turnout will be every Saturday. Like yesterday, very, very light because
yes.
it's right after the first. People
and
have their money.
Poured.
Yeah, and it poured, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Here we are standing in the rain waiting for people to show up.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you start to see those trends and you start to
recognize the
you
patterns.
You recognize the habits, and that's where I think HHSA, as this gets formalized, is going to cut down on this much more. But the other thing is, too, you know, we talked about this, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then Annie, who spoke in public comment about the bus.
Yeah, that one. Whew.
So what do you think about that? I mean, and for those that are listening that don't know, there was about 3 weeks ago, there must have been 75 to 100 people there, and I would say at least 40, I mean, at least half were not from, I'll just say it, they were not from Reading.
No, it shocked me.
And these were individuals that they weren't from other camps because, you know, we pretty much, there's enough of us doing things in different camps.
Jerry and Skippy are acutely aware of the faces they see day in and day out because they do this every day.
Yeah.
And that day, I don't remember who had made the statement, but they were like, hey, there's a whole bunch of people here we've never seen before.
Yeah.
So that was something in the back of my mind that I recognized, too.
And that's one thing I've actually thought about doing is trying to have some kind of, not neighborhood watch, mm-hmm. but try and have some kind of process that if you see a charter bus rolling into town, get your phone and let's start, because, you know, that gets thrown out a lot. A lot of people say, oh, they're busing them here from other areas. Well, yeah. You know, I've had a couple people, like very, very trusted people that I believe that said, hey, I was driving by and there was a charter bus, you know, down on Market or even out by the Mission and people were getting off.
Yeah.
And you hear people say, oh, no, that's not true. Or it's like, well, it was a rabbit bus. You just didn't notice. And it's like, eh, I don't know. So that's one thing I do want to know because, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say Annie took it upon herself to approach a few people and ask, where are you coming from? Because she had recognized, maybe realized, that these were individuals who were on the side of life is hard.
Yeah.
And so she approached a few of them, and a lot of them were so happy to inform her that San Francisco County had specifically given them each $50 and told them, hey, you can have a bus ride out of your troubles. Hop on the bus, and where it goes, which is Shasta County, and then these individuals got off. And that really perplexed her. So that's why she made the statement at the county boards. And then Nick Gardner had given me a call and was like, hey, we need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, well,
and then I had a conversation with also Chief Schuler about it as well, because he wants to know, is this true?
Yeah.
And what is going on? And in my mind's eye, if this is
Chief
the way...
Chief Schuler called you.
No. I had to go take care of something else. And
okay.
I actually saw him. And he said, hey, Mo, get over here. I want to talk to you. And I said, yeah, what's up, Chief? Introduced him to my son. And then we spoke about the incident, about Annie speaking at the boards.
Well, that's good. I mean, that...
Yeah, no. He really does want to get to the bottom of this. He's like, hey, I'm working on this. I'm trying to do this, that. And I said, please do.
Well, maybe that's a call I'll be making this week.
There you go. Please have a conversation with them, because what I'm hoping for is that people will work together instead of against each other.
Absolutely.
And then maybe we can get to the heart of this issue. And if another county is touting that they're dealing with their homeless issue and they're doing things like this, that to me is a big no-no.
Yeah, well, and again, I will say, I mean, it could be a private citizen. There's a lot of scenarios, but it doesn't matter. The reality is we only have so many dollars, so many beds, so many resources, and we have people here already.
Yes.
That and also, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for the people that are on the brink of homelessness. Well, I'm becoming acutely aware of how many people are, when you talk about the paycheck to paycheck thing, but you're talking about, you know, if they had one, you know, if their car broke down, if their tranny blew or something like that, they can't fix it. And if they can't fix it, they can't get to work. If they can't get to work, they get laid off.
Yep.
And now they're homeless.
And it's even more extreme than that. We're in the same boat.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that my husband works hard for his family. We have six people in our house, and my husband literally has to dally or divvy up, okay, this is what we've got for gas. This is what we've got for this. We've got to pay REU. We pay for REU.
Yeah.
We've got to pay our mortgage payment, which is $1,600 a month.
Yeah.
And groceries. We can figure out, okay, we can buy the inexpensive meat. We can't have steaks. We can't have this. We can do this. And then here I come asking Eric, hey, can I have 40, 50 bucks so I can feed people in the park?
Yeah, exactly.
And my husband's heart is huge. He's never said no to me.
Well,
so,
and if you're looking for some tile work,
Monique's
husband Eric does tile, a contractor, phenomenal work with tile. So when we come back from this break, if you have any questions for Monique or myself,
please
call into 605-4567. Again, that number is 605-4567. You're listening to 96.5 1460 or 96.5 FM 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply. The sun is out just in time for our spring sale and your chance to save big on your home improvements. May 5th through the 14th, Triple 15 fertilizer is on sale for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Have you tried our Garden Power soil yet? It will be only $51.99 a yard. 3/4-inch Cascade Rock is on sale for only $39.99 a yard. Been considering a pond? All products to build your new water feature will be 15% off. Pool sand for your above-ground pool is now only $31 a yard. Installing new or replacing your existing sod? Laux Landscape Supply will build a package customized with the right soil, sod, and fertilizer to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, all while at sale prices. Whether you pick up or we deliver, we have the tools and equipment to take you through your project from start to finish. The spring sale at Laux Landscape Supply is May 5th through the 14th. Check us out on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com. Give us a call at 378-2220 or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop. Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Pat Benatar is amazing. All right. So I think that song also for Monique and I. You know, people can say what they want. They can live how they want. It doesn't affect us. Like, take your best shot. Here we are. Life is.
We're all fired up.
Life can be tough. Life can be cruel. But at the end of the day, I'm so happy every single day that I've got three amazing kids that call me dad. Yep. I have a lovely wife of 23 years who has put up with my stuff.
Me too.
Exactly. So
lovely husband.
Lovely husband. I got you. Yeah. And I'm just really thankful. So do we have a caller, Liam? We have Nick. Nick, you're on.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Mo, I want to congratulate you on your sobriety.
Thank you.
I know how hard it is. I've been sober for a week now.
I love your attitude.
I'm just teasing. Hey, thanks for bringing to light about Annie Lewis and the out-of-town buses. I've been harping on this for 3, 4, 5 years. I'm around town all day, every day.
Yep.
And it seems like everybody in authority just made up excuses and didn't want to address this subject. So I really appreciate you bringing it up, Kevin. It's been almost like this is an important part of our economic viability in Shasta County, is supporting these people with grants that are coming in and that kind of stuff.
Well,
so I just wanted to say thanks, and maybe you've got some thoughts on that. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nick. No, I know. You know, one of the things, again, if we're talking about just politics and things of that nature, one thing is that I won't let this recall possibility do is detract from the things that I want to do. And I don't want to slow down on helping people that need help get the help they need. And I also want to make sure the people that are choosing to break the law or choosing not to do the right thing or get help or get better, that they are held accountable. Now, of course, our jail is full. We're hiring people as fast as we can. Sheriff Johnson's doing a great job with his team.
Yes.
And I know that we can only control the things we can control. And one thing I've been working on is what this process is going to look to hold. I don't want to say, well, let's just say the people that are, if in fact people are being sent here, dumped in our streets, because if there are people that are being dumped here and they've got severe medical problems or mental issues, mm-hmm. if there's any chance of prosecuting somebody for any type of criminal behavior for abandonment of somebody.
They do it for animals.
Well, yeah. So we're gonna find out. I'm definitely going to be calling Chief Shuler this week.
Please do.
But I've been working on a couple ideas of basically like a watchdog type of thing where maybe we even offer like rewards. If you get pictures and video of a bus dropping people off, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't want to make it a vigilante kind of thing,
but
I just want accountability. If people are being dropped off here because they're from another city or another county or even another state and they don't have anywhere else to go, it's not their fault.
No,
they might be getting sent here, but there's definitely something to be said to say, look, we don't have any room for people that are trying to just rebuild their life on Shasta County tax dollars in terms of HHSA, et cetera. So I'm going to definitely be pressing into that, and I'll definitely be talking about that as well on my board report on the 16th. Yes.
I was just going to say, my understanding of the way our nation started, if you knew how to read the Bible when you lived in the United Kingdom, if you knew how to live the Bible and you got in trouble for something, and their way of dealing with it was to send you to the New Americas. And have you ever read the story Molly Beneke?
I've heard it. I have not read it.
Oh, it's a beautiful story I used to read to my children all the time. It just felt so right to read it to them. But anyways, people were given, 40 acres, a mule. They knew how to read the Bible, and they were told, go make your way. That used to be how we did things. But now with technology and with support and resources and all these different things, I find that that doesn't work, especially when somebody's so broken as people who you know, they basically take the $50. I'm not sure what they might do with it, but $50 will get them nowhere.
Exactly.
Just ship to a different county.
So we did get another call, and they didn't want to come on the air, but they just had a question, and they asked where they can get tickets for the fundraiser on May 18th. If you're looking to attend the fundraiser on May 18th,
I'll be there.
Doors will open at 4. Dinner will start at 6. And you can go to Ninja Coalition HQ. That's my ninja gym at the mall in between Sprouts and Macy's. You could also call 530-605-3329. Again, that number is 530-605-3329. And if you're on the other side of town, you could pick up tickets at Jones Fort as well. Mm-hmm. That's Jones Fort over there off of East Cypress. Mm-hmm. So, Mo, let me ask you. We have a few more minutes here. Mm-hmm. If you had a magic wand and you were able to do any one thing for the people in our community, or are able to make something happen, and I don't mean just wave your wand and everybody's housing, but what's one gap that you see that really needs to be filled? So what would that be?
Well, if there is truly one thing, I'd tell Eve, leave the apple alone. Outside of that, no.
Leave the apple.
Just kidding.
Well, but you know what? But isn't that the truth?
Well.
How simple that is.
Got to go back to the heart of the problem.
That's right.
So that's what I was trying to make a joke with. Wow. That's a difficult one to answer. But resilience, I will definitely tell you that is one thing my mother taught me how to live with. What to live with. Resilience. No matter how much life might slap you one way or another, you got this, girl. And in part, I owe a lot of my tenacity and my resilience to my mother. She herself struggled, and I didn't understand. But as I got older and got my degrees in psychology, I had a better understanding of what my mother went through just to even carry a conversation with me. So resilience, I wished people understood and can understand, even in the darkest hours of addiction, what that resilience means, to know that you may be broken, but even when you put fine china back together, you can still use it. It's still worth something. As far as I'm concerned, imperfections to me are perfections. But resilience is one thing I wish a lot of people understood that needs to be taught, because life, it is. C'est la vie. You know, it is what it is. You got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Housing is important, but more than that, I would hope that we would find a way to help people deal with the unprocessed traumas from the past. And I hear a lot of statements about, you know, your rear view mirror is so big, and then your windshield is huge, and you're supposed to be looking out this windshield towards your future, but we are so focused in looking in this tiny little mirror of our past. The past. But unfortunately, it's one of those things that I can't run from. And as much as I try to confront it and deal with it, just so I can get on in my day, it is always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think pretty much everybody mm-hmm. has things that they're dealing with.
Totally.
I remember watching a special one time, and I don't know if it was on, it wasn't a 30 for 30 on ESPN, but it was some interview, and it was Terrell Owens, and
Terrell Owens.
See, I was never a Terrell Owens fan.
Oh my God.
I mean, he was a phenomenal athlete, probably still is, obviously
amazing.
A phenomenal athlete.
Yes.
Great football player, but I was
never
a big fan of his personally, but I was watching, and this was after he had retired, mm-hmm. and he was just sobbing, talking about his childhood and his
dad.
Father.
His dad lived across the street from him, and his mom was a young lady who got pregnant, and she got pregnant with her neighbor across the street. And he grew up knowing that that was his dad, and his dad never paid him attention, just pretended he wasn't
there. So you know
there.
The story better
than
I do.
Oh, yeah. I love Terrell Owens.
And so here you have a person, you know, and at that time he wasn't in the Hall of Fame, I don't believe, or maybe it was around the time when he was being inducted.
Yeah.
But he carried this chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
His entire life,
yep.
through the NFL, through record-breaking
biggest
seasons.
Biggest stage
you could imagine.
Yep. God, I'm getting shakes right now.
Yeah, and here is a person that, you know, you could say is not just broken, but, you know, the world would say they had everything, and yet he seemingly had nothing because all he wanted was something that
a big part of it is the foundation. Yeah. And the foundation you are built upon and growing on. My first 5 years, I lived with my mother, who was just beginning her paranoid schizophrenia. So as you could probably understand, there was a lot of confusion in my childhood, trying to understand why my mother was so angry at authority figures, yeah, trying to figure things out. And I think Terrell did that too.
Yeah. No. So what we'll leave with on that is just, you know, just be kind to people.
Absolutely.
Realize you have no idea what they're dealing with,
absolutely,
what their daily struggles might look like. So when those opportunities arrive to be kind and show love, do that.
Yes.
And
just like Jerry did.
Just like Jerry. And Monique, thank you so much. And as we go out with Bon Jovi and, you know, the have a nice day. So just
thank
have
you.
A nice day,
you
Monique,
too, Kevin.
And thank you, Shasta County.
Thank you, Shasta County.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.